that Pastor Jeff was accurate. I've been going around for about the last 6 weeks, me and my wife, been going around to the various Christian assemblies and congregations and thanking all the people for your prayers, your support, your love, because it's really made a difference in our lives. And truly, it's been quite a journey, but I just really wanted to just say, you know, thank you all, family at First Baptist Church, for your love, because we really felt your love in those dark days, and there was many dark days. So I want you to know, fresh off the press, that God does hear your prayers, and He does answer them. Amen. So on behalf of the Tiburon family, my dear wife and myself, thank you so much. And I also wanted to take this opportunity to say to my dear wife that the Lord really showed me the beautiful gift that you already knew that I really have. And of course, you know, all you men that are married, you know the scripture says that a man that finds a wife finds a good thing, and I have a good thing here. And so thank you, sweetheart, for being with me. Amen. Okay, you just sit. Let's pray. Father,
very humbled to be alive, to be here, Lord, with your people, my family, the family of God. I pray that you would help me, Lord, today to get out the word that you've spoken to my heart, to your people today. Lord, truly, we thank you for your holy presence, for your presence is here. Lord, have your way here today, Lord. May our hearts be encouraged. May our hearts be lifted up in you. And Lord, may we, after we get done sitting under the ministry of your word, leave here loving you just a little bit more, God, as we see how much you love us. Oh God, for your glory, we pray. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen, amen and amen. And I'm kind of wondering if I could get a music stand or something, Brother Paul. Isn't Brother Paul looking really wonderful? I mean, I was noticing him. I haven't seen him in a while, man. And, wow.
Man. And who thinks Howie looks like Moses?
Yeah. It's not good to brag on yourself. But when somebody else toots your horn, it's allowable. I really want to thank you, Pastor Jeff, oh man of God, my dear brother, for just being the unique man of God that you really are. And it's been a while since I've been with you, and it's a wonderful thing to sense the presence of God, because the presence of God is here. Did you sense God's presence here this morning? Yes. Bear with me. I'm not getting around quite as quick as normal. Kudos to whoever God inspired. I'm just loving the rainbow over the church. Amen. It's where it should be. It belongs to God. Amen. It belongs to God. His covenant promises. I want to talk to you this morning about a journey. We're all on a journey, amen? And I want to talk to you about a spiritual journey that I have been on for approximately a little over a year now. God's been speaking to me something about the past dozen years or somewhere around that, a little more, a little less. He's been talking to me about the fullness of Christ. A lot of people talk about the walk. I don't want to talk about the walk. I want to walk the walk. I want to experience what it is to be a Bible-believing Christian. Amen?
Amen.
And that's one of the things that I really appreciate about Pastor Jeff, because he doesn't just talk about the walk. He walks the walk. Amen? And it's very evident, because you could sense the presence of God in this place that He shepherds. There's actually no better accolades that you could give to a person, is that their ministry brings the presence of God. When the presence of God comes, guess what? Everything comes. Everything comes. And Jesus is still Lord. He is Jesus Christ, period. And it ain't never going to change, is it, saints? So I want to just talk to you about three things. I want to talk to you about the fullness of Christ. I want to talk to you about the thorn in the flesh. And I want to talk to you about the encounter. This journey that I've been on about the fullness of Christ, and I kept coming across it in the Scriptures, especially in the New Testament Scriptures. The fullness of Christ, the fullness of Christ. Or you could say the abundance of Christ. The fullness of Christ, the abundance of Christ. Do you know that there is abundance in Christ Jesus? And if I was to ask you in one sentence, and somebody was to ask you that did not know Jesus Christ, and they were to ask you, what is it all about? What is Christianity all about? In one sentence, it should be this. It's about a personal, intimate walk with Jesus Christ. Amen? It's not necessarily about a church building. It's more about the church people. You. And God loves you. He is yours and you are His. What an amazing, most wonderful thing. So I kept praying about this fullness of Christ, this fullness of Christ. And I knew personally that I had not yet arrived, walking in the fullness of Christ. So there still was some maturity and some distance to go to get to that place of what it is to walk in the fullness of Christ. Amen. So I started praying a very brave prayer. Have you ever prayed any brave prayers and really meant them? Just like King David said, Lord, search me and find if there be any wicked way in me. And purge me and cleanse me clean. And he meant that. And God did. That was a brave prayer. Because we know that we have some stuff in us. Amen? So I asked the Lord if there's anything in my way, in my life that gets in the way of walking in the fullness of Christ. I said, God, have at it. Because if you're truly going to walk as a New Testament or a biblical believer, there has to first be, hear me on this, the first has to be a crucifixion of the flesh before you can truly walk in resurrection power. In resurrection power. Now, some people, they might not care about that. But we should care about that, because we are to role model true biblical Christianity. We're supposed to role model who Christ is. And do you know that the world is dying for that today? That's where the world is. That's why it's so crazy out there. That's why it's so dark and this and that. Is they have no clue about our God. Amen? And who He is and the love that He has for people. I just celebrated my 50th class reunion. I finally have arrived to that plateau. And it was something else. Friday night and all day yesterday and my. And I was excited to see people that I haven't seen in 50 years. I wanted to see who was still alive and who wasn't. And I was amazed that I was still alive. And that's only because of the grace of God. But somebody called me up and said, Howie, who went last year for his 50th class reunion, which was in the same place. And he said, you got to go. And I was looking, and I was him-hawing about going, but God confirmed to me that you need to go. He says, Howie, because you got a story. You got a testimony. And they need to hear that. And so that was the confirmation that I was to go. So I went and did all the things and so forth. So on. You know, and I was amazed at it was funny, Pastor Jeff, after 50 years, we looked so different. It's not that nice, full, you know, skin and, you know, and this and that and the hair that used to be there, you know. And I was joking with everybody. I says, if you're at our age, you can grow hair. You probably ought to grow some hair. You know, so, you know, give the excuse why I got the hair. But the funny thing is we would look at each other. We wouldn't look at the face. We wouldn't even look at the picture on the ID tag. We would look at the name. Oh, that's you. it really was. But I said that to say this. As exhilarating and unique as that was, it doesn't compare for me personally for what I got right here. Because what I have here is I'm part of a family that you're part of. And though we might not see much of each other during the week, but there's just something that connects us, isn't it? There's a spiritual reality that connects us, and we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're supposed to have each other's back. And I'm so thankful for that. And that's part of this walking in the fullness of Christ. So I just want to, if you will, turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 1. And I just want to talk a little bit about this. John chapter 1, verse 16. So that you know what I'm talking about. That it's in the Scriptures. John chapter 1, verse 16, speaking out of the New King James Version. It says, "And of his fullness," John writing by the inspiration of the Spirit, "and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace." And of his fullness, whose fullness? Jesus' fullness. "And of his fullness we have all received in grace for grace." I never understood that word grace. Theologically, I would hear terms, this and that, but it really didn't do too much for me until God spoke to me what his definition of grace was. And this is what he told me. "Son, grace means this: my divine enablement in your life. My divine enablement in your life to do anything that I've called you to do. They will be holy and righteous and good and true." And apart from God's grace, you know that you cannot do that. That's why we need this relationship. We need the grace of God. And as you read through the New Testament Scriptures, that's all you hear is grace, grace, grace. "Great grace be unto you, the abundance of grace. Grace, grace, great grace be unto you." Do you know why that they wrote that? Because they were finding that they needed great grace to fulfill this great commission. To go and to convert the world. And in the process of converting the world, to walk it out and to be the real deal, to be a true believer in God. They needed great grace to overcome unbelievable odds. And they went through some stuff, right? You Bible Bereans, as you know, you read the stories, there was tremendous persecution, trials, tribulations, winds of affliction all over the place. And they needed great grace to persevere and to press through. And it's because of this fullness. Do you think that the early church was walking in some of that fullness of Christ? They changed the world, didn't they? In 3 short centuries, it became more popular to be a Christian than not a Christian. And that's when things kind of went sour, because you could become a Christian because it was so popular, it was a fad, that you could be a Christian without being born again, without having a heart transplant, without having a heart change. And you and I know, just because we sit in a pew don't make you a Christian. Just like a car sits in a garage don't make it a car. How do you get into this family of God? How do you get into the kingdom of God? You got to be born again. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. You're a new creation. God's got to come inside of you and do some type of supernatural act. And you are supernatural. You're supernatural. I love this song that says, "I am who I am because that I am tells me who I am. I am who I am because that I am tells me who I am. You are who you are because that I am tells you who you are." Do you know who you are, saints? Do you know, man of God, woman of God? that you're God's chosen for this day and in this hour. And He wants you to walk in the fullness of Christ. And He wants you to walk in His abundant grace. Amen? And I wanted more of that and more of that. And so, Lord, do what you got to do that I might understand what this is, walking in the fullness that is in Christ. I want to see the dead raised, not just spiritually, and that's the greatest raising, but I also want to see the natural, people raising from the dead. I want to see not only spiritual blind eyes open, but physically blind eyes being opened. I want to turn water to wine. Well, I'm about to throw in there, I want to walk on some water too. Why not? Is that too far-fetched? Is that too far-fetched? No! You want to know why? Because Jesus says, and He always speaks the truth, amen? What He said is, the things that I have done 2,000 years ago, sitting in front of, yes, 12 people, one of them was going to even betray Him. Sitting in front of Him, He's telling them, just like I'm telling you today, the things that I have done, so shall you do. And He's saying that here today to the saints of the Most High here in the First Baptist Church. The things that I have done, so shall you do. I expect you to do it. And even greater things. Even greater things. How about that? He is the abundant one. He wants us to walk in the abundance that is Him. And I want that. Before I pass away and go into the heavens, I want that. I'm going to be 70. But you know what? That's only a number. I don't feel. How old is your spirit, saints? Your body might tell you something else. But how old is your spirit? Your spirit, come on, is eternal, isn't it? It's eternal. I want to jump out of this decaying carcass because it limits me. I want to walk in the fullness of Christ. Let's turn one more and then we'll get to the next point. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians. Chapter 1. One of the things that I love that Pastor Jeff will not move on, and those that you know him, he will not, as long as he's here, is that there will be a Tuesday night prayer meeting, and there will be a Wednesday night Bible study. You want to know why? Because it's so needed in the church of God. It's so needed in the church of God today, it's unbelievable. And most places, they don't even have prayer night or prayer at all or a Bible study. Why? Because they're the most unattended meetings. And when those meetings become the most attended meetings, watch out for the Sunday morning meetings. Oh, yeah. Watch out. Because that's true. That's a true barometer when you really got revival going on, is when the people, you can't hold them back. What time is prayer? What time is prayer, Pastor? What time is prayer? 6 o'clock. Good. I'm going to get there at 5:15. Because I'm excited because in prayer, we're going to meet with God. We're going to have a conversation with God. God inhabits the praises and the prayers of His people. And He wants to do something extraordinary. He wants to put the extra into your ordinary so that you can walk extraordinarily. And God wants to put the super back into your natural so that you walk in the supernatural, extraordinary things of God. And I don't want to communicate to you that by any stretch of the imagination, don't get me wrong on this, you cannot be me. You don't want to be me. But you know what? You be you. You be you. You are uniquely wired for this day and this hour. Do you know that? Do you know that you're just not here because of mommy and daddy? Or Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so or whatever? You're here because God knew before the foundations of the world that you would be here today, representing Him on planet Earth, in the country of the United States of America, in the good old state of New York,
and in the county of Jefferson County, and in the city of Watertown, that you would be walking and serving God today and have something to share, being able to speak life into people that are dead. There is no greater calling. There is no greater calling than that. How can you repay somebody that would speak words of life into your dead soul, and you believed it, and you opened the door of your heart, and you let Jesus Christ come in and be your Lord and Savior? All of a sudden my sins are forgiven, and immediately I have eternal life. I'm alive, I'm born again. Yeah. It's something to shout about. Man, I'm telling you. So in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23, talking about this fullness. Let's go back one verse. And it says, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, you folks, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now, if you're taking notes, which you probably should, because this is what God gave me, and he gave it to me for you so that you could do something with it. Read over it. Listen to it. Meditate on it. Just like food. You don't eat your food. Did you ever have parents that told you, slow down and eat that food. Chew it good before you digest it. It's the same thing with the Word of God. So many times we get too familiar with the Scripture and we just race over it. And we don't pull out. We don't pull out the life that's in those Scriptures. One more. Let's turn to chapter 4, just down the road. Just down the road, but from where we're at in chapter 1, chapter 4 of Ephesians. Chapter 4, verse 13. Actually, I'm going to back up to verse 11. Chapter 4. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. That's known as the fivefold ministry. This is the purpose of the fivefold ministry. For the equipping of the saints. For the purpose, for the work of the ministry. To equip the saints for the work of the ministry, which is for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. So am I hitting the nail on the head? Is there biblically such a thing as walking in the fullness of Christ? Has it been proven out in a few short verses there is such a thing as walking in the fullness of Christ? Obviously. And that's the whole purpose for apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. God called to equip the saints so they might do the work, which is the big picture of perfecting the body of Christ, that we might come into the fullness that is Christ. And watch our world when the church arrives to that place. So now I want to talk about the thorn. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Back up. Second Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, Paul speaking, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Have you ever looked at this before? Have you ever looked at this before? Have you ever had this perspective? Let's read it again. And lest I should be exalted, Paul speaking of himself, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations. He had revelations, didn't he? He was caught up into the third heavens. He saw things that were not lawful to utter. Amen?
He was privileged to see amazing things. He saw the glory of God, the majesty of God. Imagine that. He saw things that he couldn't even utter because of the manifold manifestations of the revelations that he had. So he ascended into that place. But he's saying that God had given him a thorn in the flesh was given to him, a messenger of Satan to buffet him, lest he should be exalted above measure. There's a reason why, and here's the thing, many times, and this is a great preaching point, many times that which we call the devil, disturbance in our life, is none other than God. It's none other than God. You know the scripture that says that what the devil meant for evil, what's the next verse? God meant for good. God turns for good. What the devil meant for evil, God turns for good. Why? Because the devil is no match for God, and the devil has no control or authority of your life. You know that? Because you're blood bought. You belong to the Lord. It says in Luke, we won't turn there, in Luke 22:31, to verify this, before, and I didn't know this, I had my timeline mixed up on this, I thought it was after Jesus rose from the dead, it wasn't, and probably the most prideful of all the apostles, who would you say would be? Who? Peter? Of the 12 apostles of Jesus, who would you say was the most prideful before? Well, Peter gave him a good run because, right, he'd always open up mouth, insert foot, and he's bragging about, because he thinks he really knows himself, that Jesus is telling him he's got to go to Jerusalem and he's got to be crucified. And what does he tell him? Well, I'll give my life for you, this and that. You know, and other times you tell me you even got to go there. And Jesus says, well, Peter, I know that you mean well, but let me tell you something about yourself that you haven't yet realized. That tonight, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me. Not once, not twice, but three times. Yeah, Peter. And I bet you, I would bet dollar to donuts that Peter right there thought that the Lord kind of missed it on him. That wasn't true. But it was true, wasn't it? And the Lord spoke to him and told him and said to him, Peter, how would you like to have the Lord say this to you? But in a sense, he was. Peter, the Lord said this to Peter, that Satan has asked me to sift you like wheat. The chief demon and the devil himself has come to me and has asked me for permission that I might sift you like wheat. But, Peter, or Christian, I have prayed for you. I have interceded for you that your faith remain. That your faith remain. And you want to know the proof of the pudding that Jesus' prayers work? It's because, yes, true to form, Peter denied the Lord three times, crashed and burned, and had to be ministered to by God, be forgiven. How many times did he betray him?
Three.
And how many times did he ask Peter, do you love me? Isn't that interesting? Feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. And the last one, he says, Lord, you know all things. I'm not going to open my mouth and insert foot anymore. I just don't really know. Feed my sheep. So what that is a picture of is Satan cannot get at you, saints. Satan cannot, hear me on this. Satan, demons, devils, evil spirits, foul spirits, smelly spirits, they cannot get at you unless the Lord allows it to take place. That's the Bible. Because who is sovereign over your life? Who has control of your life? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And right there he's saying that he has to come and ask me for permission to come to you. Because we're protected. The only way that you can come out from underneath that protective providential hand of God is to what? Sin. And even then, God's Spirit will convict you of sin. To bring you back, that you might repent, confess your sin, and get back under the providential hand of God. Amen? And so,
a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning the thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times, that it might depart from me.
Here's a man who knew how to pray, amen?
And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.
Man, we got to understand that.
And I understand that better than ever over the past 10 and 11 months of my life. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.
And this is Paul's understanding of that. So therefore, this is what he says.
Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities. Therefore, most gladly, I'd rather boast in my infirmities. Now he ain't boasting about heaven so much. Now he's boasting about here on the earth, the things that afflict you and me and him. Therefore, I most gladly would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know what the revelation is? There is no problems in heaven, into the third heavens, in the heart of heaven where God is. Satan and the demons have been cast out. There's perfect peace, perfect harmony, perfect wholeness, perfect perfection, everything. But down here, it's not. And the revelation that he got was God was willing to go from there down here where you and I are at to strengthen you, to give you grace, and to help you in your time of need. Is there something going on in your life today, saints? Is there something that you're battling with? Just saying. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Though I'm hobbling a little bit, I'm getting better. I went through 2 different wheelchairs. Then I went through 2 or 3 different types of walkers. Then I went through 2 sets of crutches. And then I went down to a cane, which I got sitting on the thing down there. And you know what? It's been a day-by-day walk. And you know how do you walk, saints? Do you know how I get from here to that Bible there? 1 step at a time. I can't get there by falling there. I can't jump there, that's for sure. But I get there by 1 step at a time. That's how we walk in life. That's how we get through the day. And do you know how you walk with Jesus Christ? 1 step in front of the other. 1 day at a time. 1 victory at a time with Christ. Amen? So no matter what it is. And so, when I have an A-type personality, my wife can say that. But here's the thing. That God is teaching me, and he taught me something that has been something one of my pet peeves for decades, that I wanted to know what it was to live 1 day at a time in Christ. To have no thought for tomorrow. It's in there, isn't it? Have no thought for tomorrow or next week, but walk 1 day at a time. That's more easier said than done. And I would forget it a couple hours later after I tried it. But during this time of this journey that I've been on, God broke me down. God broke me down. God's grace broke me down to 1 day at a time. Because even in my sickness, and I'm sure Pastor Jeff can attest to this, that in yourself, that when something happens to you, some type of physical thing, some type of spiritual thing, some type of soulish thing, don't you want it to be over just as fast as it came? Come on, don't you? You know? And the physicality thing, well, yeah. And today, it seems like every time you set an appointment, it's getting farther and farther down the road. And I said, man, I got to wait 2 months, and I got a serious situation now. And the Lord told me, he said, son, we'll get there 1 day at a time, 1 step at a time. And in that process, I thought that my surgeon had it in for me because I was lousy with bacterial infection. I went down on August Sunday, August 14th, at 7 o'clock in the morning, we had good old brother Frankie Beeman drop me off so I could beat the crowd for coming in there. So I'm there at 7 o'clock, and by the time they got doing this test, they knew that I was bad sick. And they said, Mr. Tibbering, if you had not come in here today, you would not have been seeing Tuesday morning. You will not be seeing Tuesday morning. I go, why? Because you said that you are septus. You have a bacterial infection in you. It's in your blood. It's in your urine. It's in your body. And it's encapsulated the most recent hip replacement. And you ain't going nowheres. The next morning, Monday, August 15th, early in the morning, my surgeon, Dr. Michael Clark, Superman, he comes in and he says, how'd you get so sick? And I said, I don't really know. He says, well, guess what? I got to yank that hip out of you. Good news, huh? I got to rip that hip out of you. And you're not scheduled for surgery, so I got to fit you in somehow. So at 11:15, they fit me in and they took the hip out. And then all of a sudden started this journey of bad pain. A prison for me, because obviously I'm kind of rambunctious, even with stuff like that. I'm moving around. And I sat, my wife couldn't attest to it. I sat actually in my mother's chair that when she passed, I got it for her. And while she was living, I actually helped her get it. It's a one of those power lift recliners. I lived in that chair 7 days a week, 24 hours a day for over 10 months. And some of you can attest to that because you came and you visited me. And I'm thankful for those that came and visited me or had called me. I really am. And here I am. And here's the window. Here's the chair. And I look out and I see summer come, summer go. Fall come, fall go. Winter come, winter go. Spring come. And I didn't know what was going to, I hoping that I wasn't going to see that go. And it wasn't until Monday, April 24th, that I was released to be able to put the hip back in. Thank God that took that long. But I want to tell you something. And they gave me painkillers because I had to have painkillers because all it did was take the edge off of this. They put a spacer in me. It was basically a glorified 2x4 block. You got to have something there to connect the femur to your pelvis. And it was painful all the time. I couldn't move. Swelled up. Unbelievable. And then I hurt my knee before I got sick. And so my knees got problems. My hips got problems. I got problems. And I want to tell you what. My prayers got pretty simple. And it usually happened at night. It's always interesting, isn't it, when you're by yourself in the dark of night. And this is what my prayers were reduced to. Help me, Lord. Help me, Jesus. Help me, God. I need your help. I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know, God. I'm going out of my mind, Lord. I don't want this no more. I don't want to be in prison, God. I want to walk. I want to serve you. I want to tell people about the gospel message. No answer. No answer. Because you want to know what? That was the crucible that I had to go through to get here today. To get here today. Because I'll tell you what. And one time, I thought that surgeon, because it was supposed to be a 2-month turnaround, after they put a port in me, through my inside of my chest, and every day for 6 weeks, I had to push in antibiotics to get rid of the infection. And it did not. And it didn't go away in two months. It didn't go away in 3 months. It didn't go away in 4 months. It didn't go away in 5 months. It didn't go away in 6 months. It didn't go away in 7 months. Finally, after the 8th month, it went away. 4 times as long as it was supposed to go. But every day, God was doing something in my life. And when, you know, the scripture says that when your eyes are upon the Lord, what happens? You're kept in what? Perfect peace. When your eyes are upon the Lord. I had my eyes on that surgeon. And I said, that surgeon has it in for me. That surgeon doesn't like me. I'm never going to walk again. And I got myself in a little trouble when I go down there for doctor's appointments. And we have a little, little horn locking. And this and that. And they said, you better behave yourself, sir. So forth and so on. Because I wasn't going to budge them. Because of liability purpose. And the Lord would come to me. And he said to me, son, how you doing? I love God in the moments. How you doing? How you doing? Right in the midst of my complaining and my anxiousness and my fear. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there in your stuff? Can you identify with that? Can you identify with me? How's it working for you? How you doing? I love God in the moment. And I obviously ain't doing too good. And he says, you want to know what's happened, son? You've taken your eyes off of me and you've put them upon man. You've taken your eyes off of me and you've put them on man. And he ain't got what you need. He ain't got what you need. I got what you need. And I'm the one that put you here. I'm the one that allowed you to go here to break you. To break you. And He broke me. My wife knows. He broke me. I needed to be broken. I needed to be broken that I might walk as Christ walked. That I might things that Jesus done. And I might even get close to the greater things. You got to be broken. Bring the supernatural about. And so that dealing would take place over and over and over again. And finally, when I would let Him win, and I wrestled with Him, and then I would shift. And once I said, "Amen, God, I'm sorry, I apologize, I confess, I look to mere mortal man." And all of a sudden, the peace of God would flood my soul. The peace of God would flood my soul. I want to tell you one that's even more serious than that. When you face your own mortality, I thought I was going to die. And some of you probably have been there. I thought I was going to die. And that's when your prayers get pretty serious. Real serious. And God told me, and He wasn't whispering, "Don't worry, I got you. I'm going to heal you." You know, next Tuesday, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, "I got you, son." He wasn't saying that a bit. This is what He was saying. "Even if you lose your life and you die, son, will you still trust Me? Will you still worship Me?" That's Christianity, folks. That's biblical Christianity. That's the true thing. I'm going to try to quote. I came across an amazing statement, Pastor Jeff, and I love it. But I better figure out how it starts. Our true faith and perseverance is not because of a walk of sinless perfection, but rather it's about repentance and restoration. Though we strive for a sinless walk, amen, for perfection, but it's not in this life. It's not in this life. The Spirit of God is changing us day by day into the image of Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful that God took me through that period of time to break me down. The sacrifice of the Lord of a broken and contrite spirit, God will not turn away. The sacrifices of a broken and contrite spirit, God will not turn away. You want to know something, saints? You can't break yourself. You cannot break. Those are the sacrifices that God wants from us, but you cannot break it because we're all about self-preservation. We're all about, if the truth be known, we're all about self-preservation. We don't even know how to break the flesh. God has to break the flesh. So if you're going through something today, if you're in a season, if you're in a time, and the Spirit of God, I don't like that statement, the great hound of heaven, the Spirit of God, but the Spirit of God goes after us and goes after us and relentlessly and goes after us. And if you're in a season or a time, well, guess what? If you're not, get ready because you're going to go in one. Or maybe you came out of one. And you're having a little rest. And you're going to go into another one. Because you want to know the way up in Christ? It's down. Down. That we might go up. John the Baptist said the same thing, didn't he? "I must decrease so that He can increase. I don't want you to see Me." Matter of fact, you're not. What you're seeing is the Spirit of God in me that brought me to this place today. It's God. And the stuff that we go through, where we need to be comforted, you want to know the reason for that is? Not only for our own comfort, but that comfort is for you. Okay. You don't seem so convinced on that. So we must turn to a scripture then. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, real quick. And I want to get to the end. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'll start with verse 2. And there's that word, grace, the divine enablement of God. Grace to you. Grace to you, First Baptist Church. Grace to you, individual. Grace to you. And peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. and a God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. Do you need some comforting today, saints? Who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Do you get that? Do you understand that? Maybe you might need to go to a different translation, a simpler one, and get that. But the things that we go through are not necessarily just for us, but they're for others as well. And that's what he's saying. And those apostles went through some amazing things. Amazing things. Just so that they could be the foundation layers and the fathers of the faith to encourage and to comfort the rest of the saints that were going to go through unbelievable persecution and tribulation in those days. And I'm so thankful that God has come to my life. And if you were to ask me, Howie, Brother Howie, is it worth it for all the time that you went through and those dark nights and so forth and so on? Was it worth it? And I want to say emphatically, absolutely yes. Absolutely yes. A thunderous yes. Because the Jesus I know now is way deeper and way bigger and way grander and more magnificent than I've ever known him before in almost 50 years. Oh yeah! Oh yeah! So I got some fullness going on. And so I'm not going to turn there. I'll tell you where to go, because I don't want to keep you long. And I want to talk about the third thing is the encounter. And it's found in Genesis chapter 32, starting with 22, verse 32. And I called it the desperation. And I want to talk real quick, and this is where I'll finish. It's with Jacob. Jacob, and let's talk about Jacob wrestling with the angel of God, really God himself, on the mountaintop. Are you familiar with the story? Jacob is headed back now after he's been at his uncle's place, Laban. And now he has 11 sons, two wives, Rachel, Leah. Huh? Genesis 32. His two wives, Rachel and Leah, and two concubines, Zilpah and Bilhah. And he's going back, and he has tremendous herds and herdsmen and so forth and so on. And he's going back. He's going back to Bethel. He's going back to the place, back to Canaan, where he came from. And God said, you're coming back. And now he's coming back way different than he left. And now he's afraid because he stole the birthright and the blessing. To give you a little backdrop of his brother, the oldest brother, who had the right, the double blessing of the birthright and the blessing would go to the oldest. And somehow he stole that from his older brother Esau. And now he's looking at the repercussions because he's coming back and he's hearing that his brother Esau is coming with 400 men. And he's got some concern because he thinks, you know, some guilt going on there. And here's the consequences of how me stealing that, so forth and so on. So he's sending stuff to appease his brother ahead of him. And then finally that night, when he figures the next day that Esau's going to be coming, he takes his wife, you read the story, he takes his wives, he crossed the Jabbok River, he places them there, he goes up to the mountaintop, then all of a sudden God encounters him. And he begins a wrestling match. This is an amazing story, folks. Because the angel of the Lord, to tell you the truth, they call it a Christophany or a theophany, which is really a manifestation of God. He wrestles with God on that mountain. And he prevails. A mere finite mortal man wrestles with the infinite one throughout the whole night. As a matter of fact, I picked this up that I didn't see before either. Because during the night, you want to know what? The Lord touched his hip socket. Touched his hip socket. And now he's wrestling all night, not just regular, but now he's got a problem in the hip. And he's still prevailing with God. And so the dawning of the morning, God, you know, the angel of the Lord says, let me go. And in his desperation, Jacob, the schemer, the conniver, the supplanter, that's what his name means. I'm not letting you go. I'm a desperate man, and I need you to bless me. And I'm not letting you go until you bless me. And my, desperate people It, maybe you've been desperate. You know what desperate people do? They usually do desperate things. Are you desperate? How desperate, or are you desperate for more of Jesus Christ? More of His precious Holy Spirit? More of biblical Christianity? How desperate are you? How broken are you to walk in the fullness that is Christ? And God touched him and then blessed him and changed his name. And I believe this is a prophetic picture of conversion. Because his name was schemer, supplanter, and conniver. And he changed his name to what? Israel, which means Prince with God. Prince with God. With one life-changing encounter, he became a prince with God. And just so that you know, Jacob, that you wrestled with me and you found favor in me, you're gonna hobble the rest of your life. Because I've given you not only a physical change the way you walk, but now you've got a supernatural change in your life. And these scriptures, God spoke to me when I was sick. But I didn't know how sick I was. I was stupid. I was infected. I didn't know infection came with chills and sweats. And I would sweat right through the mattress, through the sheets, in the pillowcase. And my wife would come up. She goes, "Honey, you're sick. You're sick almost unto death. Can I call the ambulance? I'll get better. Just give me a day. Give me a day, because I always bounce back." And then in the summertime, she'd be at work, and the shakes would start coming on me, the chills. And I'd get up and I'd shut the windows in June, July, and at the beginning of August. And I shut all the windows, shut the door, and then I put on, the first blanket I put on was an electric blanket. Then I started piling 4 or 5 more blankets on me. And I would start to shake with that heat that was on me. And I would shake for hours. And then I would be messed up for 2-3 days, just like when I had the sweats. And that's when God said to me, when I was laying on that bed, soaking wet, and He said, "Son, my grace, my divine enablement is enough. My divine enablement is good for you. It's good for you. It's sufficient. For in your weakness, my strength will be perfected." I didn't even know really what He was saying at that moment in time. And then later on, He gave me the Jacob story. And you know what? It's a hip situation. It's a hip. It's just interesting. It's a hip situation. And maybe my walk might be restored. I ain't supposed to do this. But that's pretty good. That's pretty good. And maybe my walk, but here's the thing. My spiritual walk will never be the same. My spiritual walk with Jesus Christ will never be the same. Because I have become a broken man. Less of me, more of Him. Less of me, more of Him. And so here's the finale. Where are you today, saints? Where are you? We're great at masquerade, putting faces on. But you want to know why? I'll prophesy. What is God doing in the earth today with His church that the world so desperately needs? He's all about personal relationship. He wants to take you deeper, higher, and farther than you've ever been. Hear me now. He wants to take you personally. I don't care who you are, male, female, young, old, black, white, pink, orange, it does not matter. If you go by the name of Jesus Christ, He wants to take you deeper, higher, and farther in your personal walk with Him than you've ever gone before. And it's just not for you. It's for the people around you that don't know Jesus Christ yet. Pastor Jeff has been saying here for years, and you know what I'm talking about, for years and years and years and years, because really, he's an evangelist that pastors. You know how I know that? Because he loves talking to people about Jesus Christ. He loves bragging about Jesus Christ. He loves boasting about Jesus Christ. Out and about in the highway, so forth and so on. And every time he preaches here, you know what's going to happen at the end of the service, don't you? There's going to be an altar call. He's going fishing. He's going fishing for souls, because just maybe somebody in here, if there's 1, 5, 10, there just might be one, and there's no need to come in here in needing Christ and to go out that door and not take Christ with you. That's, most churches don't even have altar call, saints. You don't know how blessed you really are here. I travel all over the place. There ain't no prayer meetings. There is no midweek Bible studies. There is no altar calls. There ain't even no crosses. Because we're seeker friendly. Thank God that he's old school. Thank God God got into him and made him who he is. So think about that the next time you might have a little small complaint against him. Just be merciful and say, God, show me what he sees and change me. So who needs some help in here today? Who needs a touch from the Master? Because you know what? He hasn't gone out the door since we worship the Lord in worship and praise. And now we're at the end of the service in a sense. He's here to do business with you. He's here to touch your life. Do you want to be touched? How much more of Jesus do you want? You know what he says? I got to do this. Careful. Nail-pierced hands. And Jesus Christ today, saints, is stretching his nail-pierced hands out to you. And this is what he's saying in gentleness and mercy. Saints, my loved ones, you can have as much of me or as little of me as you want. I would say take a lot because you need a lot. But you can have as much as me or as little of me as you want. How much of Jesus do you want today? How much? And so, has God spoken to your heart today? Has God challenged you today? Can you sense the presence of God speaking to you? Has he spoke to you? What do you think that he wants from you? Listen, I can't give you nothing. He's the one that gives us everything, amen? Come and get some Jesus. Come and get some Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come get some more. If you want more of Jesus, come and receive more of his fullness. Come and receive more of his grace. Don't hold back, saints. This is your hour. Your family, your friends, your neighborhood, your place of employment, they need more of Jesus in your life. Don't hold back. Don't go out the door without God touching you. Or maybe you don't think that, I've been through a bunch of these altar calls. Nothing ever happens. That's going to happen today. Well, I like to prove you wrong. I like to prove you wrong. So, the ball's in your court now. What will you do with it? Will you respond to Jesus? Will you say, I want more? Could somebody play some music or something? Come on. Come on, saints. Jesus wants to meet with you today. All I was going to do, you can ask Pastor Jeff to confirm it. I was just going to come in with my wife, unbeknownst to her, and just thank you for loving me. God loved me through you. God loved me through you. Do you want God to love people through you even more? To the point where you lay hands on the sick and they recover? Huh? Come on, saints. Respond to Jesus. Jesus is calling you. Hey, man, I love your hairdo, man. I love people with hair. Okay. Let's hold hands. Now, if you feel your heart racing, that's the Spirit. Does everybody know Jesus here?
Yes.
Everybody knows Jesus?
Yes.
That's right. Amen? I'm going to say a simple prayer. If you guys want to agree, amen? I'll say it even slow. You can even repeat after me. All right? Love you, brother.
Dear Father,
we want more of Jesus.
More and more and more.
We want more of Jesus than I've ever had before. I'm responding to you today. God, have your way in my life in a greater way than you've ever had it before.
I surrender myself afresh today. I consecrate myself to you today to be used by you in a greater fashion than I've ever known. God, may I walk so powerfully in your Spirit that signs, wonders, and miracles will be done in your name. God, send me to somebody that needs your word, that needs your love, that needs your forgiveness. God, thank you for speaking to me today. And I expect from this day forward, I'm going to walk in a different way. So have your way, Lord. Not my will, but thy will be done. And all the saints said in Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.